So I was chatting to a friend the other day about PR request, which is the hashtag on Twitter or X or whatever, and journo request, the other hashtag, which have been around for years. And they, you know, I'm sure you've seen these before. This is where journalists or creators reach out to people and basically say, look, I'm looking for this kind of person. Do you have this kind of expert or this kind of commentator who can do something for me? And sometimes it can be a really good way of making connections. And certainly in the case of the person I was speaking to, they've managed to get some TV coverage out of it, which got me thinking, because to be honest, I haven't looked at these Twitter accounts, these threads and hashtags for quite a while. And I thought I'd have a look at it and see what kind of trends had changed. And I made a bunch of notes for myself, just out of sheer curiosity to see how things were changing. And I thought, no, let's do an episode on this. So hopefully you will find this useful. It's the Public Relations Podcast. And I think I picked up probably about 6 or 7 different trends that I noticed on there. Because I think things have changed a bit, but there's also probably a few warning signs to look out for a bit as well. I think the first trend is the fact that, and I think this has always been the case, but perhaps more so now, is that people seem to be looking for lifestyle and, in particular, quirky angles to stories and pitches. So this isn't just like we want some kind of, I don't know, psychologist to comment on a straightforward, ordinary story. They're looking for a psychologist to comment on some particular niche situation. It's not just like sort of looking for a dietitian to talk about, you know, health in 2024. It's about looking for a dietitian who's looking at health in 2024 for 14-year-olds who have obesity and some other condition. So it's become a lot more sort of specific. I say quirky in the sense of more niched rather than necessarily being fun. Although you're definitely seeing a lot more of these sort of stories where they're looking for people such as, you know, do you have a relationship where you're married? I saw one on there, which was, do you have a relationship where you've been married for many, many years, but you live apart? So I'm certainly seeing a lot more unique angles. And that perhaps presents a challenge when you're trying to pitch an idea to these people, because you've obviously got to try and match what you're doing to that specific question that they're asking. You know, we've all heard the base, the common stories, the common comments, you know. I mean, how many people have we heard saying, you know, you need to get healthier or you need to eat 5 veg a day or stuff like that? That's boring now. People have heard it too many times. They're looking for those unique angles now. But I think if you can take what you're doing and you can bridge it, I've talked about this in the podcast before, if you can bridge your story over to what they're doing. I've had some success with this in the past. If you can bridge that over and you can find the hooks that match into what they're saying, then you could, well, still have quite a bit of success. The next thing I've seen is timeliness. Now, there's definitely a mix of stuff on there. You know, there are people that look like they're writing magazine articles for a few months down the line, in which is great. But there's also people who are saying, look, I'm writing an article for a national daily newspaper. They could well need it for this Sunday, or they could need it today. So as always, being able to respond to these fast is clearly just as important as it always was. You know, if it's April the 15th and they're saying, I need something now, they mean they need it today. And also what they're talking about as well is that they don't just need a comment. They don't need a press release. They don't need you to sort of go, oh, I might have someone next week. They need someone to comment now. So be aware of that timeliness and be ready for that. You know, one of the most frustrating things we used to get in newsrooms was that people would pitch a great story. You'd contact them, or often they didn't have a contact number, but if they did, you'd contact them, and then they wouldn't have someone available to do a comment. And this was on live rolling radio news. So you needed someone now. There's certainly a lot more. Next trend I saw was in terms of direct opportunities for experts. So I think it's probably helpful if you're handling multiple clients, I think is definitely a sign. I saw some sort of PR agencies and PR and publicist professionals who were engaging more with some of these and saying, look, I've got someone. But certainly, if you're involved in some organization where there's some kind of expertise in something which stands out, you know, whether we're talking about a scientist, whether we're talking about housing, homelessness, whatever it is, then looking out for these kinds of things in these pitches, there could well be a direct match which you can get someone into straight away, even if it's not necessarily in your area. You know, geographically, it might be somewhere that you can comment and get involved in some kind of national story very quickly. I saw one, what was it they were saying? It was, I need a psychologist to provide a comment for a news feature about knife crime ASAP. They need it now. They need someone that's got some kind of clear experience. And talking about that, they're looking for credibility. They're looking for expertise. Now, they're not going to say this in the tweet, but when I was looking through this with my journalist head on, the first thing I'm doing is going, okay, someone's reached out to me. They said, you know, I can talk about this. I've got a comment. the first thing you do is click on that and you have a look at their profile, and then you try and find out who they are. So that profile, you know, whether you're representing an organization that is involved in this particular case, knife crime or some kind of psychiatric thing, it's got to have something that adds that credibility to it, because everyone's got a comment. But what you want as a journalist is someone that's got the credibility to back that up, and you don't have the time to go researching that. So you need the proof to be there, whether that is in the profile of what you're saying, or whether it is, you know, there's a link in the profile which leads to some website which explains what it's about that they can find in a couple of clicks. You know, one of the things I noticed with publicists who were putting forward different experts, different stories, is that when you click on their Twitter profile, they say, you know, publicist for these sorts of topics as featured in these publications. And immediately you're going, okay, well, if they've been in those, they must be credible. So it's about adding the credibility to what you're doing as well. So for example, if we go back to some kind of medical charity or something like that, it's like, well, where else have you been published? How can you get that into the Twitter feed, into your profile, or how can you link immediately to a page which explains your credibility so that they can immediately say, okay, this sounds like someone that I want to get in contact with. So there's definitely that opportunity there. Another one I saw was kind of about fairly generic requests. So there was one that said something like, senior news reporter for this daily newspaper, do you have a powerful story to tell? Now, I mean, checking the credentials of the person, it seemed to check out. They do seem to be legitimate. But it just, you know, you have to ask kind of, well, why are they looking for that? And I think one of the reasons that you see, particularly for smaller publications that are asking for these generic stories, is because budgets, as always, are really tight. So if you have got a good story that is going to match what they're doing, and ideally hooking into something that is happening now, today, or recently, that they're going to be already talking about, then, as always, the whole phrase of newsjacking certainly seems to be just as relevant as it always was. I think, concluding, there's a couple of little more points I guess I would make. One is about the strategy of approaching journalists. Now, there's not a lot, as I say, that you can say within a tweet. So as always, you need to be looking at, who is this person who's pitching? What is the publication that they're working for? What is the tone of that publication? What is the likely content that they're going to be putting out? You know, if you look at some kind of real extreme tabloid that's kind of making up stuff and having fun every day, you know, even with stories which are kind of extreme stories, then you may not be wanting to get into that unless you can see a clear way that that is going to reach the target audience. But then equally, you may find that you've got some other reporter who is a sort of hard-hitting investigative person that you're going to put your story out there, and it's, you know, you're going to get ripped to shreds. With the best will in the world, you're putting forward a positive story, but it gets ripped to shreds because that's the style of that particular publication. So there's obviously an importance of being careful on that. But at the same time, I think so often people that pitch stories are too careful. You know, you've got to balance this. You know your topic better than I do. They're too careful in the sense that they try to put up just a pure cold corporate statement. And as always, journalists are looking for a good story, but they're also looking for someone that can comment on it in a way that is going to engage people, not just, we at X organization believe that. You know, that's the kind of thing you put in a statement when the public transport breaks down or the government does something and they put out a simple statement. If you want to engage people and you want to engage that audience, and ultimately you want to engage your target audience through this media or outlet, then you've got to deliver something that is actually going to engage them in a human way. So personality, I think, is extremely important. There was one other thing. Actually, there was one other point I did notice. I was just thinking about this. Is that there was a couple of publications, quite a few actually, that reach out and say, we're looking for hotels or we're looking for restaurants and things like this. And I think certainly in the modern era, and we've talked about this with April White not long ago on the show, is that these publications are probably looking for some kind of affiliate deal now. So they're looking for these. They're looking for you to come forward. They're going to pitch their advertising thing. Yes, you're going to get coverage, but it's going to be on that kind of basis. I'm not saying that all of them are, but I think you need to be very aware when you get those kind of very generic ones like that, particularly the things where it's pretty obvious you're going to want to put, you're trying to promote what you're doing, that you've got to be saying, well, what is the deal here? What is actually going on? That is the Public Relations Podcast. If you got to the end, then I would love your help with a project that I am developing for the Public Relations Podcast called PRBreak.com. If you follow this show for a while, you know it's been through quite a few evolutions and different names. But right now it is a proof of concept. So it's got placeholder material, but everything works. And I would love to know what you think about it. In short, it is a 3 to 6 minute daily experience, which you can do in a coffee break that helps helps you sort of get it, practice comm situations before they happen. We have daily challenges. There's even a messenger system where you can actually reach out to the people who are involved in this project, which is ex-editor me, there's some ex-journalists and some PR people as well. So that's prbreak.com if you would like to reach out to that. And let me know which parts of it work, which parts of it you're not so impressed with, because I want to make something that is going to really work well for you and is going to help to support this show so that I can actually get back to doing some more regular content and really get focused on it. I hope this episode has been useful. Please do check out prbreak.com. And of course, always, the publicrelationspodcast.com is the website for this show, where you can also sign up to the newsletter. We'll have a summary of all those points as well this week too. Speak to you soon. Bye.